Good morning. I enjoyed Rick's tambourine there. You're really good at that. Remind me of my days of Salvation Army when I was doing Bible schools, and they were so good. Well, God is good, amen?
Amen.
And He loves you. He loves you with this amazing love. Praise God. There's nothing that He would not do for you. He loves you that much. In your Bibles, the book of Numbers, chapter 18, on July 4th, the Lord gave me this thought that just absolutely overwhelmed me when it came. But I would like to read to you from Numbers, chapter 18, beginning with verse 5. "And you shall attend to the duties of the sanctuary and the duties of the altar, that there may be no more wrath on the children of Israel. Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord, to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood, for everything at the altar and behind the altar, and you shall serve. And I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service." Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray your Holy Spirit will open this word to us this morning. May we understand what you're saying, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Before I left to come over today, I went up to Faith Fellowship to just see about the setting up. It is a huge job to get ready for outdoor church. And the pianos have to be taken out, the keyboard pianos, and the platform has to be built. We have a guy that literally worked all day yesterday just getting his equipment ready for the sound system and for all that had to be done. And this morning, setting up the chairs for outside under the trees and bringing the instruments out under the tent and setting up the sound equipment and the equipment to broadcast with. And I looked at it and I thought, this is so much work. And every week, it seems we have to go through this. And it would be so much easier to move back in the church. But we are getting people that we wouldn't be getting otherwise. And it is work. It is job. And as I was reading this scripture, you know, I was reading about all the work of the tabernacle God's raised up Aaron to be the priest that would work under Moses, and he had all of this work to do, and it was all laid out, and sometimes you just get tired. Are you with me? Sometimes you just get tired, and the Bible says don't be weary in well-doing because there's a reward coming. But the thing that really shocked me as I read this scripture was all of a sudden I read these scriptures, "I have given you your priesthood as a gift to you." Wow. God doesn't call us so that we can serve Him, but so that He can shower us with His love as we serve Him. His calling on us is a gift to us. I look back to those days when I went to missionary convention. I was 8 years of age. I was saved when I was 6. And at 8, I went to missionary convention. And there were missionaries from French West Africa there. And as they preached and shared their testimony of what God was doing in Africa, I remember coming home and looking at my mother and saying, "Mom, how will I know if God's calling me to be a missionary?" And she looked at me and she gave me this wonderful answer. She said, "Son, I can't tell you how you'll know, but I can tell you this, you'll know. You'll know." And for a long time, I felt like God was calling me to the mission field. And then when I was at NIAC, the Lord made it very clear to me that He was calling me to be a pastor evangelist, that was the calling on my life. I look back over all of those years, and now at this point in my life, I can still say I'm 80. I won't be 81 until next week. At this point in my life, I look back and I think, God, your calling to me was such a gift to me. It gave me purpose in life. It gave me a reason for getting up in the morning. It gave me a reason to go to work. It gave me a reason for ministering to people all the time. This is the calling that God gave to me. He did not give it to me that it might be a burden to me. Oh, my heart ached as an evangelist as I would travel from church to church, and I would come across pastors' wives and pastors who would say to me, "I can hardly wait to get out of this rat race." And I would look at them and my heart would ache for them. And I would think, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, I will grant you that there are some people in churches that have not followed their calling and they've made life for the pastor unbearably hard. And that's terrible that that's ever happened, but it has happened. But I can say the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. God has so blessed me to give me the calling. And I want you to know this. God doesn't just call people to be pastors. God calls us for the ministries that he has for us. And for each one of us, a ministry, whether it's the ministry back in the sound room or the ministry at the piano or the ministry of prayer or the ministry of ministering to neighbors, whatever God's calling on you, it is a high and holy calling. Just because I'm called to be a pastor doesn't mean that I don't understand and value the call of people who are sitting in the pews. Because without you, nothing would happen. You are the ones that carry the work of the church. I have the privilege of standing here, and it is a privilege. It's a joy to me. People say to me, "When are you going to retire?" And I said, "You retire so you can do what you want to do. I'm already doing it, so why retire?" You see, I love what God, because God gave it to me as a gift. He says, "This is your gift." When I read that in the scriptures, I found myself in tears, thinking, "Yes, Lord, thank you. I get up in the morning knowing what I'm going to do. I live my life knowing what I'm going to do. And if God were to take me home right now, standing here, I couldn't go home from a better place. If my heart quit right now and I dropped down, you'd all be shocked. But let me tell you something. I would go home saying, Lord, what a gift you gave to me to actually let me go home from the pulpit. What a wonderful gift." You see, God gives gifts. I want you to understand something today. God is a great giver. God is always a giver. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no veritableness, neither shadow of changing. He's not going to change. God is going to continue to always be a gift giver. I don't know how many of you have studied the love languages, but the love languages are amazing. As I think it was Chapman who opened this whole understanding of what the love gifts are. And there's these different ways that we have of expressing love. And if I'd only known that when I was raising my first set of boys, I would have understood much more, because I'd understand what their gifts were and how they received love. And my wife, her love language is gifts. At Christmas time, I don't check the books at all. I don't check them anyway. But I know that she's just going to want to give gifts to everybody. That's her love language. She expresses love to people through gifts. And it's wonderful to know what your love language is. But I want you to know something. God works in all the love languages, but I think he loves the love language of giving, maybe even more than any of them, because he loves to give. He is a great gift giver. Think about it this way. God gave you, before you were born, he gave you an identity. He gave you a DNA that's different from anybody else's DNA in all the world. Your whole DNA written into you is there. God placed it there. And he placed it there in such precision that he knows you from beginning to end, because God loved you that much that he made you an individual different from every other individual. And when God formed the dust of the ground, and he made it into a body, and there lay Adam on the ground, as of yet nothing but clay, just mud laying there. and all of his body laid out. He may have been the most handsome person that God ever made. I don't know. But until God gave him the gift of life, he was nothing that could not have been scattered to the four winds of the earth and never have existed. But you see, God knew Adam before the foundation of the world. And God knew that this man that he was about to breathe into was going to one day sin against him, was going to try to become God in his place. And yet God still said, I'm going to do it. And he breathed into man the gift of life. And man became an eternal soul. And Adam stood to his feet. And there he was, this perfect specimen of manhood, never have existed before. And he has in him the breath of life. He cannot die. He will live forever. People say, well, I just wish I could live forever. You're gonna. Everybody's gonna live forever. You don't have to worry about that. You'll either live in heaven forever, you'll live in hell forever, but you will live forever. That's because God breathed into man the breath of life. And all of Adam's children have had the breath of life in them. That was God's gift to them. And when they began to move around on this earth, it was the breath of God within them, the gift of God. But God also knew, according to the word of God, that Jesus Christ, who was the one who created man, and when God breathed into man, God knew that Jesus Christ was one day going to be nailed to a cross by those very hands that he created. He was going to be nailed to the cross. He was going to be spit upon by the very mouth that he created in Adam. He was going to have his beard plucked out by the very hands that he had created. He was going to be beaten, and the flesh was going to lie. And yet God, knowing all of that before the foundation of the earth, God still breathed into you and gave you breath, made you a living soul. And when he knew that you were going to turn your back on him, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord laid on Jesus your sin and my sin. Why? Because he loves you with this phenomenal love. He loved you enough that he literally allowed you to be his enemy, that he might say, while you're a sinner, I still love you, still care for you. And he let Jesus be nailed to the cross, let his blood flow out, that it might go to the mercy seat of God, and that you and I might have forgiveness of sins. And when we come to him, we say, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for my sin. Will you forgive me? Will you wash my heart clean? He takes the very blood of Christ and he washes our heart clean. It's a gift to us. Can you stop to realize the phenomenal gift of forgiveness that God gives? What if God had been unwilling to forgive us? Created in his image and after his likeness, with his breath breathed into us, we turned our back on him, we despised him, we went our own way, and God was unwilling to give us the gift of forgiveness. We would go through all of eternity in hell, knowing that the guilt that was on us was of our own doing, and that we would stand guilty forever and forever and forever and forever. But God said, no, I love you too much to let you go to hell. I'll give you my son. I will give you my son so that you can have eternal life. And while we despised him, he loved us. And on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. What amazing gift that God gave us, his son. And we come to him and say, Jesus, will you come into my heart? Remember that chorus we used to sing? Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And he comes into our life. It's the mystery, Paul said, that was hidden from the ages. What? Christ in you. You see, God didn't just save us and forgive us. He literally indwells us. Christ in you. for all of time and all of eternity. You say, Lord, I'm not strong. I'm weak. I don't have the power to live this life. He says, I know you don't have the power to live it. Therefore, I have another gift for you. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Jeannie talked today about the presence. The presence. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He comes and gives us that presence of God. That sense that he is there. You're in your car driving along. You begin to praise him. And the presence of God fills the car. You see, God knew that we were not strong enough to live the life. Somebody says, I just can't live the Christian life. And you're absolutely true, you can't. In your own strength, you cannot live the Christian life. Try as you will fail. And that's why he said, I have another gift for you. I will give you my spirit, that my spirit will come into you and strengthen you. And he will give you the gift of conviction. Oh, what a gift that is. We do something wrong. What happens? We're convicted. As a believer, we feel uncomfortable. We don't know, wait a minute, what's happening to me? Well, I shouldn't have said to my wife what I did. I shouldn't have. And so where's that coming from? His spirit dwelling in us convicts us so that we don't want to do wrong. We want to do right. We don't want to have the guilt. And he says, I've given you the gift of conviction. So that when you do wrong, you feel it in your system and you're not comfortable and you don't want to live this way. It's a gift that God has given. But let me say this. Once we have confessed our sin, once we have repented, the guilt should go away. That's a gift of God. If guilt doesn't go away, guilt serves one purpose and one purpose only, to bring us to repentance. That's the only reason for guilt. If you're living with guilt and you've already been forgiven, then that guilt is not from God. He has not given you that. He didn't give it to you. I went for years with a struggle with guilt and condemnation and fear until the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, son, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I said, Lord, where did it come from? He said, where do you think it came from? I said, the devil. He said, that's right. I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, what does my word say to do? I said, your word says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to resist the devil. And I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. And like that, the guilt was gone. The condemnation was gone. It was wonderful. And then, whew, it came right back. Did you ever have that happen? Came right back. I said, Lord, he said, I didn't give it to you this time either. And I learned something. There's a fight to faith. There's a fight to faith. And I had to fight it. And it took me a while. But I want to thank God that the word was clear and I was able to keep my head above water for that time that I was fighting it, because God was teaching me a lesson. You see, part of the gift of the calling to ministry is you often have to go through the things that you're going to have to be dealing with other people later on. And I can tell you right now, when God showed me how to get out of condemnation and depression and gave me the key to it, I discovered almost immediately that there were so many people going through the same thing, and God had given me this that I might share it with them. It was a gift. Some of the gifts that God gives we maybe don't want, but I can tell you this, they're all good for us. He never gives us anything that isn't wonderfully good for us. See, God never does anything that is not perfectly good. It's for our good and for his glory. And so God gives us his spirit in our life to convict us. He gives us his spirit to give us that consciousness of his presence. He gives us his spirit that we might enjoy the joy of the Lord. You know, you need to enjoy God's presence. I think one of the old catechisms says, the purpose is that you might enjoy God forever. Do you enjoy God? You ought to enjoy God. I enjoy his presence. I enjoy the presence of Jesus when he comes sweeping in. Maybe wake up in the morning. I remember saying one day, back when I was just out of my teens, I said, Lord, I'd like to wake up with your presence. I remember coming awake. I was in my grandmother's trailer home there, and the room was about that wide. And I felt the joy of the Lord come down, roll across me, go up this wall and spill over on me, and go up that wall and spill over. I'm just laying there just rejoicing in the Lord. I'm feeling his presence just sweeping over me. I said, Lord, thank you. I'm enjoying your presence. Do you enjoy the presence of God? You see, you can't enjoy his presence if you're living in sin. A believer who is sinning will not be comfortable because the Holy Spirit won't allow you to be comfortable until you confess your sin and repent of it. When you do that, then his joy comes back. And if the guilt remains, it's not from God, and you can resist it and command it to go. Not only does he do that, but he gives us this calling. Every believer is called of God. I don't know what your calling is. I don't know what that is. But I know every believer has a calling. Every believer has something that they are specifically gifted to do in the ministry of God's people. It may be that you're gifted to make apple pies and take them to the neighbors. My mother could put out 2 apple pies faster than anybody I ever knew in my life. We lived on pie. We grew up pie every night for dessert. I'd still love that, but I don't dare now because it doesn't go away. It just stays there. But whatever your gift is, it may be that your gift is to pray for somebody. It may be that God's given you the gift of praying for healing. I've got a friend that when I'm sick, I call him. I say, I want you to pray for me. And he'll anoint me, lay hands on me, and God heals me. I mean, he's got a gift of healing, gifts of healing. And I'm just so thankful for that ministry of healing that he has. I've known other people that have gifts of storytelling. My mother had the gift of storytelling. She could take a group of children or adults and begin to share with them the story that God would put on her heart. And they just melt before her. And she was able to lead people to Christ with that. On her dying deathbed, she would be there in her bed, and the young women from the neighborhood came around and gathered around her, and she would share with them what Christ was doing in their life. And she had this gift of doing it in such a beautiful way. She was gifted as a storyteller. It was an amazing gift. I don't know what your gift is, but it's a gift from God. Take it and value it. And let it grow. Let it develop within you. Don't run away from the gift. You say, oh, I don't have time for that. How many of you ever feel that? I don't have time for that. You don't have time not to fulfill your gift. Because once your gift is being fulfilled in your life, Paul says that I forget those things which are behind. I press on toward the mark for the prize of what? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And whatever that calling is that God's put on your heart, that's where you'll find purpose in your life. That's where you'll find it's good to get up in the morning. That's where you'll find as you go to bed at night, you look back on it and say, wow, God, this has been a great day. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for just allowing me to be a part of what you're doing. God is faithful. Not only does he do that, but God gives gifts of his Spirit. When Jesus went to heaven, the Bible says he ascended on high and he sent the Holy Spirit and he gave gifts unto men. So that when the Holy Spirit came back into the world to take up his residency here, after Jesus went to heaven, the Holy Spirit came down to earth and took up his residency in the church. He brought gifts to men and women from God. And those gifts are the gifts of the Spirit of God, gift of discernment. Oh, how many of you know we need that gift today? Let me tell you, the day that we're living in, you need the gift of discernment. You need to be able to know what is of God and what is not of God. Because there's a whole lot of stuff out there that is not of God. That's being claimed to be of God. And you need discernment. How about the gift of knowledge? Where you know something. You don't know how you know it, but you know it. You ever been there? I've had that situation. I tell you, if you're raising children, you need a gift of knowledge. God will speak. I can't tell you. I remember with foster children that I was had in my home for a while. Remember this one boy, he came in. I said, hi, Bruce, how are you? I was in another room. I hadn't even seen him yet. I just heard the door open. I said, hi, Bruce, how are you? He said, okay. I said, you were in a fight tonight. He said, what do you mean? I said, you were in a fight tonight. Who were you in a fight with? How do you know? I said, never mind how I know. I just know. Who were you? Oh, it was a Port Lydon gang. And I knew. You say, how did you know? I don't know. I remember calling up one day and to my home. I was visiting another place and I called and he answered the phone. I said, how's everything? Good. I said, put that cigarette out. You are not allowed to smoke in my house and you know that. He said, how do you know? I said, never mind how I know. I just know. God gave word of knowledge. You know, knowledge is a wonderful gift when God gives it, where all of a sudden you know something that you don't know how you know it, but you know it. You know it. I could share many of those. Then God gives the gift of wisdom. Do you ever need that? Ever need a gift of wisdom? Lord, I need the gift of wisdom. I don't know what to do in this situation. And all of a sudden, you know what to do. You just know it. God's given you the wisdom for it. And God gives many, many gifts. Gifts of healing, gifts of tongues, gifts of interpretation. All of these gifts that are important to the body of Christ. Wow. They're gifts. Somebody says, well, that gift, I don't want that gift. Can I tell you something? I want every gift God has. He can give me any gift he wants because God has nothing but good gifts. Are you with me? God has nothing but good gifts. The only gifts he has are good. Every gift is from God. Every good and perfect gift is from God. And there's no shadow changing with him. He loves us. He'll give us all the gifts that are necessary in our life. And then God gives us eternal life. Eternal life. What's it going to be like when the trump of God sounds? All of a sudden, that sound come out of the night. Yes, the trumpet sound. And suddenly, gravity loses its hold on you. And up to the air. To be caught up to be with the Lord forever and ever. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. Because we serve the great gift giver. He's always giving us gifts. Take a deep breath, will you? Did you thank God for that gift? Feel your heart. You feel that? Ba-bump, ba-bump. Thank God for that gift. Thank God for that gift. Raise your hand. Thank God for that gift. Thank God for that gift. Do you ever think what it would be like to lose the hand? Dear friend of mine, 2 weeks ago, just took the cap off from a radiator and it exploded and just came out and hit his hand, literally scalded it, scalded his body here, and his hand looked like a lobster. It was terrible. And, you know, I think, oh, you know, God, help him. You know, he never had any pain. His hand's working perfectly. That was a gift. That was a gift from God. When they had to debride the dead skin from here, they took a like a cheese grater and went, you know. He said, I kept talking outside, but I was screaming inside. He said, that's the only pain I've had. That's incredible. You know, that was because God's people immediately went to prayer and prayed for him. That was a gift. It was a gift. There's so many things that are gifts in our life that we don't even stop to realize. Father, help us to understand that you are always giving your children gifts. Lord, we thank you for the gifts. Oh, God, I thank you for the breath I breathe right now. Thank you, Lord, for the oxygen. Thank you, Father, for the grace that you give to us. The grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord, that you care about us. May we serve you, Lord God, with hearts filled with gladness. All our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'd like to talk with you as Jeannie's playing softly, just this. How many of you today think about something came to your mind, a gift that God has given you that you haven't really thought of as a gift? May I see your hands? God gave you something, yes. A gift. How many of you, yes. How many of you today say, I want God to open my eyes that I might see the gifts he's giving me? You want God to open your eyes that you can see the gifts. Yes, yes, all of it. Yes, yes. You know, if we don't let him open our eyes, so oftentimes we miss the gifts. We miss them. They're gifts that are wonderful gifts, and we take them for granted. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, God has given you the greatest gift that anyone can give, the gift of his own Son. And if you open your heart to him, he'll come in. If you're here and you're a believer, but you've never been filled with the Spirit of God, he says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? It's so simple, just asking him. And he comes. Father, manifest your presence in our lives this week, that as we walk through the week, we will glorify the Son of God and give him praise for all the gifts that we have received. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.